And not with separate endeavor, but with the same endeavor, intrinsically, the inherent knowledge of the soul becomes awakened. It's the giver. It's the giver of transcendental knowledge, and it's the perfection of transcendental knowledge. That what is the perfection of transcendental knowledge? To be situated in one's loving relation with the Supreme Lord, with consciousness fixed upon Him. Mad chitta, mad gatak prana, vodayantak pra. So the this is all affected. Both the internal potency of the Lord is directly contacted, because you can't contact the Supreme Lord apart from His internal potency. So one is in contact with His Vatu, who blesses that chanter of the holy name with understanding. The understanding of the personality of Godhead, who is inconceivable, who no one can know, becomes known. The culmination, the perfectional stage of knowledge becomes attained. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. So this is another very important part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that although the soul is chitkana or anu, it's the tiny part of the Supreme, as the part has qualities like the whole, but is quantitatively tiny. You all know that, right? So it may seem then that our capacities are similarly very limited, which certainly makes sense. However, as far as the ananda capacity of the living entity, it's therefore is compared to ambuddhi, to an ocean. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. It goes on increasing. Just when you've reached your capacity or limit, vardhanam, it continues to expand. The loving relation with Krishna, in other words, is completely dynamic. You can't contain it. You can't limit it. Because you're in contact with the unlimited Krishna, so the capacity of the soul for joy, for spiritual happiness, knows no limit. And that limitlessness is increased through the agency of the holy name, when chanted congregationally in pure devotion. Ananam buddhi vardhanam prati padam. Just like we sing pratikshana in our Guru Vastaka, at every moment the spiritual master is very anxious to relish the activities of exchange of love between Radha and Krishna. So here, pratipadam, purnam am. So at every step, purnam, purnamrita svadhanam, purna amrita, the full nectar is tasted. Lord Chaitanya is, no wonder he's experiencing ecstasies in discussing with Srupa Damodara and Ramananda Roy, because the full, at every step, this is something that as a college student that I appreciated, you know, way back when I just began chanting Hare Krishna, was that this process of chanting sustains spiritual consciousness continuously, whereas other processes, by restraint, by some mechanical method, you may be restrained from interacting with matter. And you get a little relief. And as soon as you stop that process of restraint of the senses, very quickly consciousness again becomes clouded and confused and mixed with material circumstances, and all of that quiet little place that you just retreated into is disturbed, gone. Some of you may have also experienced like that. But in contrast, this process of, well, now we have amplification too. Were you able to hear me back there before the amplifier came on?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, very good. So by this process of chanting, pratipadam, purnamrita, asvadaram, this consciousness, the ecstatic state of consciousness of the awake and ecstatic state of consciousness of the soul stays with you, so that at every step you're able to relish. Even in this material atmosphere, you're able to relish the spiritual quality of the self. This is another very, very special spiritual attainment or perfection that comes from the Sankirtan, and only from, because of its special benediction. And sarvatma snapanam. So, it's explained this way, that one might wonder, something like this, is this all like an induced state or something like that? When you hear this from the materialists about the, and the critics, materialistic cynics or atheists, criticizing this mesmerizing process of chanting the holy name. So, is this an induced and some artificial state? No. It's the natural consciousness of the soul. Sarvatma snapanam. So every morning we take our snapanam, a morning bath, to cleanse the body externally. And then we chant the holy name to cleanse the soul internally. So it's the cleansed condition of the soul. It's natural, or it's inherent, intrinsic within its natural property of the soul to have all these other perfections. So it stays with you. It stays with you beyond the moment of chanting. It stays with you for eternity. It stays for the day, it stays for the week, it stays for your lifetime, it stays for eternity. Inherent activity of the soul. So let me just read that to conclude how Krishnadas Kaviraj describes. We read text, this was text 12 from Shikshamrita, Shikshastika prayers. From Antya, chapter 20. Here is three more verses. Two more verses. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. So the chanting of the holy name carries us through all these stages of perfection into direct loving activity with Krishna in our spiritual form. All of that is there in that seed of the holy name, depending upon the purity of our consciousness, or the purity with which we chant which awakens our and restores our pure consciousness. One can enter into Krishna's pastimes through chanting the holy name of Krishna properly. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So any discussion? Yes.
So even for the beginning practitioner?
Even.
All this can be experienced?
Gradually.
Gradually. And can we attain a pure love of Krishna?
We certainly hope so. Are you doubting?
But I thought without sambandha jnana.
Without something what?
Without sambandha jnana.
Yeah.
Bhakti cannot be achieved.
Okay.
And without the initiation of spiritual master, pure bhakti cannot be achieved.
Right.
How this can be related?
Vidya vadhu jivanam. The transcendental knowledge and Sri Krishna Sankirtana, it's performed congregationally. You can go on a mountaintop and chant Hare Krishna, and that will help prepare you so that when your heart becomes cleansed sufficiently from that chanting, you will seek out the company of other chanters, and specifically the spiritual master. Extinguishing the blazing fire of the it's just like, it's a nice question, appropriate question. It's just like in the Chaturasloki verses in Bhagavad Gita. Where does Krishna identify the spiritual master in hearing from him? Huh? Well, that comes later, but the initial part is, what's the Sanskrit for the first of the Chaturasloki Bhagavad Gita verses? Huh? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. You know the meaning? Aham, Krishna saying, speaking first person, from him, sarvasya prabhava, everything is emanating. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Same, he's just repeating, he's saying it twice, essentially. The wise who know this perfectly, iti matva, there it is. How does one come to the position of knowing? Only by hearing, from the realized source. And being guided in that process of hearing, how to apply that in practical devotional service, that's also required. Because in our conditioned and contaminated state, so we don't know those things. So chanting of the holy name cleanses immediately. Up to just like, I mean, you're very fortunate in that you have here a very qualified person who's guiding all of you. In my case, I was a rascal and didn't have such fortune, but I had the holy name. And that prepared me to the point where persons I could accept, and Krishna also provided persons who could guide me. But initially, you know, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't able to accept that, Krishna said. But as I was ready, according to if one has a very sincere desire to know Krishna, he'll reveal Krishna. But that revealing is through Krishna's representative. So it's there. Mantra Das, Haribo. Wow. Nice to see you. Yes.
So you said in particular there is prominent process of self-realization. Like temple worship, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So holy name does not have potency in those people?
It has potency, but it's not the primary means. It was there as part of the process of deity worship. It was there as part of the process of sacrifice. It was there as part of the process of meditation. In this particular age, however, is the primary dispensation. All right? Yes?
Maharaj, these seven perfections are there, but in the conditional stage, like when we attend regularly, so how can we know whether we are advancing in chanting?
Just like this, you know, the sun's rising. You know because there's illumination in the sky. So it's the beginning effect is perceived. You know, subjectively, I didn't know all these detailed things, but I could subjectively experience as I was beginning to chant. These things are happening. So it's therefore likened to the rising of the sun. It's gradual. Self-realization and God-realization is gradual, like the gradual rising of the sun, until the sun is at, you know, full overhead, high noon, blazing in brilliance, like that. So these are, as these stages, bhava, maha, vagni, nirvapanam, as the blazing existence of material life is, it subsides. You can realize that in stages. Your consciousness is becoming cleansed. You can realize that in stages. Then you feel that you're being benedicted somehow by the chanting of the Holy Name. That's perceived in stages. Your material attractions are subsiding, that you can perceive. Yes?
You said the seat of the soul is within the heart.
Yeah, the soul is situated, the seat of consciousness.
Is that a physical heart?
Yeah, but it's transcendentally situated. It's not by heart transplant, the soul is removed. It's in that region, animating the body. Okay? Yes?
Maharaj, I could not understand the meaning of vadhu. Like, what is the context here?
The Supreme Lord has his expansion by chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We're also associating with the energetic expansion of the Lord. We can't contact the Lord directly, but rather through the agency of his energetic expansion, the Ladini potency of the Lord, the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, Bhakti Shakti. The process of devotional service includes hearing and chanting, so we're in contact with that energetic expansion of the Lord. By that contact of the Lord through his energetic expansion, our natural condition of awake state of knowledge takes place. Vidya vadhu jivanam. Transcendental knowledge is intrinsic. It's already there. Like Prabhupada, when speaking to the hippies in the East Village, in Tompkins Square Park, he said like this, "I've not come to teach you something new. I've come to remind you of what you have forgotten." It's already there. You just forgot. I'm just come to remind you. And the process of reminding or reawakening of that knowledge is Sri Krishna Sankirtana, Vidya Vadhu Jivana. Is that all right? You think about it, son. Yes. It's a nice topic, isn't it? Wonderful topic. Well, there's four sources of anarthas, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's one.
And these anarthas further lead to cause more offenses in chanting. Because of these anarthas, we are not able to chant properly.
Purely, yes, right.
Purely.
We're able to chant, but not purely.
So, how to overcome this? Sometimes we without our consciousness, we commit so many offenses to the holy name, and we realize that when our chanting goes down, but we do not know the exact reason why that happens.
Well, now you know. Because of the anartas. In the beginning, did you experience, and maybe others, you can share this, in the beginning, ecstatic, breakthroughs. Then after some time, I'm having trouble with my chanting. I mean, I'm just saying in a simplified form, but that's due to the anartas that arise in the heart from chanting. Before you begin chanting, you're not having any anartas from impure chanting. You have anartas from other sources. But the chanting of the holy name eradicates those anartas. But by impure chanting, then you have that kind of category of anarta. Anartha that arises from offenses in chanting. Then you have to deal with that. So what comes after bhajana kriya, or devotional activity, is anarta nivritti. Now you have to perfect that bhajan, or your devotional practices, to the point of offenselessness. And the obstacle is the anartas that arise due to the improper or impure performance of those activities, devotional activities. Before you begin worshipping the deity, no offenses. When you begin worshipping the deity, you may make some offense. Some anarta will arise in the heart due to that offense. Then you have to counteract that offense. Eradicate the offense. Chanting of the holy name can help eradicate that offense. So the bottom line here is the chanting of the holy name eradicates all the other things. Not that you go on offending the deity thinking, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, it's okay. But you're trying to, you can overcome that anartha that has arisen due to imperfect worship or seva of some kind. The 64 offenses, seva aparad, they're listed. Unknowingly, you may commit one of those. So it doesn't mean that, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I'll leave my shoes on when I come into the temple. That's one of the offenses you shouldn't commit. So you're carefully guarding against those offenses in the worship in seva aparad. And continuing to chant the holy name to awaken love of God. So you understand. The root behind the whole thing is come to offenseless chanting. That's the program we're involved in here. Yes? What's the remedy for? Recognize that you've made an offense and curtail the offense and go on with your seva. Yes?
Why do from time to time doubts arise in you?
Okay.
And after some time some doubts arise.
That's okay. That's common. Then? What
then
to do with the doubt that arises?
Sometimes
you raise the doubt. You bring in a proper situation, you raise the doubt. Arjuna raised doubts. He was Krishna's devotee. And before Krishna, he raised his doubts. So in the company of devotees, those who are qualified to eradicate your doubt, you raise the doubt.
The doubt on the process starts from
the doubt what?
Doubt on the process itself starts from the worship of the person.
I didn't get that. Your voice trailed off at the end. The doubt and the process itself.
The doubt on the process itself.
Uh-huh.
So, well, in that situation, what one should do?
Ask. I have this doubt. I have a doubt in the process itself. Can you help me understand? Can you help me remove this doubt? If the doubt cannot be cleared, then the opposite consequence is there. How can you continue with the process? So you have to raise. Therefore, that method of inquiring from a qualified person is meant to cleanse our intelligence, to strengthen and to purify our intelligence. The doubt's within the mind, and it's blocking the effect of pure consciousness. So that can be dealt with. Doubts can be dealt with. In fact, it's not even something that you should be worried about or ashamed of. It's actually, according to Kapila Dev, it's a sign of intelligence. Someone who isn't thinking at all, who doesn't have an active intelligence, they're not going to wonder or inquire about or, in that process, doubt something. But so, having doubt is a good sign, and the real test is when light is shed on the doubt is dispelled. If light is shed on the doubt and the doubt remains, that's not a good sign. It's that I'm attached to being in darkness. But one is actually eager to come to the light, and light is shined upon that area of doubt, then you can progress. So both things are required. Sincerity of inquisitiveness and a qualified person to respond to that inquiry. If you don't have both, then you won't progress won't take place. If there's insincerity, I just want to flab my tongue here and ventilate. I don't really want to know anything. I just want to take up somebody's time. I like to hear myself talk and have them listen to me. I like that. Anyway, when sincerity is lacking, there won't be progress. If there isn't a qualified person, then there won't be progress. Your question was what to do with the doubt in the process itself. Inquire. You can inquire from scripture. You can inquire from sadhu, you can inquire from guru, you can collaborate those three, see if you're really clear on it, got the right answer. Anything else? Yes. When you're chanting, what should you concentrate on? You should concentrate on the sound vibration. Simultaneously what? That comes in course of time. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, in that sequence. First practice concentrating on the name, the sound vibration. In course of time, naturally, an attraction for the rupa of nama will come. Because nama is a person and the form is also a person. That will come into your mind. But you will find, if you're very attentive, if your attention goes to form, rupa, and your attention goes away from nama, next thing is it'll go away from rupa and go to something else. Not rupa or nama, but to something else. So therefore, rather than creating our own system, we just take the system given to us and concentrate on the name. Okay? As your purity of consciousness evolves, the next stage will also follow. In natural sequence. Okay? One last question, and we're over.
What is the proper use of inquisitiveness in Krishna consciousness?
The proper use of it? Serve Krishna according to your nature. Of course, there's our conditioned nature and also our spiritual nature, but for now we're conditioned. So our individuality is just a reflection of that spiritual nature. So that's where we start from. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.